Paper three on embedded derivatives.
Bernadette, take it away.
Okay, so agenda paper three sets out a summary of the comments received on the tentative agenda decision issued in September of last year relating to embedded derivatives in IAS 39, and specifically whether an interest rate floor should be separated from a floating rate host contract in a negative interest rate environment. And so full details of the original issue can be found in agenda paper 9, which was discussed at that September meeting. And at that time, the committee considered the case of an interest rate floor in a negative interest rate environment and concluded that the requirements of paragraph AG33B of IAS 39 should be applied consistently in a negative and positive interest rate environment. And furthermore, when determining the market rate of interest, an entity should consider the specific terms of the contract together with relevant spreads. And the committee considered that neither an interpretation or an amendment to IAS 39 was required, and consequently issued a tentative agenda decision not to add this issue to its agenda. And so the comment period for the tentative agenda decision ended on the 23rd of November last year, and we received three comment letters, and they're reproduced in Appendix C, which is actually a separate attachment to the agenda paper. And we've summarised the comment letter feedback in paragraphs 5 to 16 of that paper. In summary, none of the respondents disagreed with the committee's tentative decision not to take this matter onto the agenda, but all of the respondents suggested that the wording of the tentative agenda decision be clarified in some way. In particular, respondents requested clarity over how paragraph AG33B of IS 39 should be applied, specifically what is meant by the interest rate floor and what is meant by the market rate of interest and how that comparison operates, and also whether the tentative agenda decision should also make reference to the accounting treatment under IFRS 9 for financial liabilities. And our analysis of these points is set out in paragraphs 17 to 42 of the paper, and based on that analysis, we firstly considered that the interest rate floor referred to in paragraph AG33B of IS 39 should be taken to mean the overall interest rate floor, and that is the benchmark rate plus contractual spreads, and it is this overall rate of interest that should be compared to the market rate of interest, which also takes into account any relevant spreads. And so the comparison should be made on a like-for-like basis. And then we specifically acknowledged the concern raised by one respondent who noted that such a comparison will result in embedded interest rate floors generally never being separated from the host contracts. And whilst we agree that in many cases separation would not be required, we have identified certain scenarios where this would be required, and that's set out in paragraphs 25 to 31 of the agenda paper. However, we acknowledge that these scenarios would be unusual and off-market, and consequently this interpretation will result in the infrequent separation of embedded interest rate floors. In addition, we also consider that the market rate of interest referred to in paragraph AG33B of IS 39 should be understood to mean the market rate of interest on the host contract, so that would be an identical instrument without that embedded interest rate floor and not the hybrid contract. And lastly, we agree that the analysis should also apply to financial liabilities accounted for in accordance with IFRS 9. And therefore, we suggest that the agenda decision should clarify those points, and we've proposed relevant amendments. In addition, we noted that one of the respondents suggested that the description of the factors to consider when determining the market rate of interest should be made clearer. And so we've also proposed some amendments in this regard. So to help you make your way through the different changes, so in Appendix A, Part A1, we set up a markup of the original tentative agenda decision, and then a clean version of the final proposed wording is in Appendix A, Part A2. And so the questions then for the committee is, first of all, whether you agree with the suggested amendments to the decision, and then if so, whether or not you would agree with our recommendation to finalise the decision. So I'll hand over to the committee.
Okay, as I described before, I'll just make a tour first. Tony?
So I'm comfortable with where the staff's got to, comfortable that we finalised the agenda decision on the basis of our discussions at the last meeting, and I have no further observations on the proposed changes.
Okay. Reinhardt?
In looking at the paper, I believe that the staff's analysis in paragraphs 25 to 31 of circumstances where the overall interest or the floored interest rate on the hybrid instrument would be greater than the market rate of a host instrument would be, I think as the staff said, rare, because it would be only occur in circumstances where the instrument was issued clearly off market, because the lender would always pay a premium to be protected from the downside risk. And therefore, one would expect the floored interest rate on the hybrid to be lower than the market rate of interest. So I think that the thrust of the direction we're going would suggest that in most instances, there would be no separation of the embedded derivative. So that's one observation I would make. What I do agree with the staff analysis that the way to do the comparison is to look at the overall interest rate floor on the hybrid compared to the host instrument. I agree that's the appropriate way to doing it. But I would observe that because the agenda decision applies both in positive interest rate environments as well as negative interest rate environments, I think it's my experience is, and I think it was hinted at in some of the comment letters, that people have different ways of doing that comparison under AG 33B in positive interest rate environments. Some people take the floor, if there's a floor in the benchmark, they compare the floor in the benchmark to the benchmark at the date of issuance. Others, I think there was one comment paper that suggested you might take the floor in the benchmark and compare it to the market rate of interest. So although I agree with, as I say, with the analysis in terms of how to do the comparison, I think it should be made very clear that this would apply in both scenarios, positive and negative interest rate environments. And my concern is that by entitling it embedded derivatives in negative interest rate environments, people might not realize that it is applicable to them. And so I would suggest that change being made at a minimum. I also had a couple of editorial comments, which I on a couple of the sentences that, as I say, they're editorial nature, which I passed on to the staff for their consideration. So those are the thrust of my comments.
So it would be, would it be as simple as just removing the words negative interest rate environment from the title to solve what you're saying?
Something along those lines, Wayne. I think okay. The embedded derivatives or something along the lines of analyzing embedded derivatives relating to interest rate caps and floors, something like that. And then say, you know, the committee agreed, although the specific situation was in a negative interest rate environment, the committee agreed that the same principles would apply in a positive as a negative interest rate environment.
Charlotte, I was going to take people in turn. Does yours have two hands up or? Okay, I'll get to you then in sequence. Carl, are you on the line and do you have anything to add?
Hi, nothing to add. I'm comfortable where you are and I agree with the amendments and the suggestion from the staff to finalize the agenda decision. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Carl. Bonnie?
I also have no comments. I agreed with the staff and agree with the changes proposed to the agenda decision.
Mikhail?
Yes, I agree as well with the proposed changes with staff and that we can go forward with the agenda decision.
Okay. Young-Soo.
Okay, I also agree with the suggested amendment and not much comment on that. Just one editorial comment is that a sentence, a paragraph starts with when applying paragraph AG 33B. First parenthesis, the staff uses a word appropriate spread, and appropriate seems to be very ambiguous to me. So that my suggestion is to change the appropriate spread to the spread of the contract, so that we can specifically say it is the spread of the contract. That is only my comment.
Yeah. I'm getting head nodding from the staff here, so I agree. Sue, can I wait till I've done the tour for you? Fei Long?
I agree with the like-for-like basis set out in the paper. I think the current paper provides a further clarification on the application of IAS 39 AG 33B. So I agree.
Okay. I'm noticing the number of our people out there who are using headphones. I wonder if that might improve my understanding of what's going on. Bruce?
Thanks, Wayne. I agree with the staff's recommendation, but I'd also just echo Reinhardt's comment. I had the same one that it seems we're talking a lot about this without just necessarily being about negative interest rates. So, yeah, and all I agree.
Okay, we'll make whatever editorials we need for that. John?
I agree with the suggested amendments, and I agree with the recommendation to finalize the agenda decision.
Last I heard, Sandy was caught in traffic. Sandy, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. We can also see you.
I agree with, yeah, good. A lot of truck traffic today. I agree with the conclusion. I guess my editorial comment was I went back to our 2010 comment letter to the FASB proposal on financial instruments, and we basically said we don't like embedded because they're really subjective, and they're really about not measuring the host at the right value, or the totality of the contract at the total value. And I think this question illustrates the subjectivity of it. But I think many investors ignore these decisions. If you're a value investor, you adjust for the totality of it. It doesn't affect cash flows, and if you're interested in the income statement, you take it out anyway. So an interesting accounting question about the subjectivity of the words, but I don't know that it changes the outcome either way for investors.
Okay. Now, Charlotte.
I agree with the staff decision. I thought the paper was really good. It's a shame.
I thought it was on. There we go.
No, it's not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's now.
Now you're on.
Okay. I agreed with the staff analysis and the agenda decision. I did think the examples were useful in the staff paper, so if there is any way of trying to incorporate those, particularly if we then extend it to make it clear that not only does it cover things in a positive interest environment, but I think the other thing is it also covers caps as well as floors, and maybe having examples of that. I was a bit concerned if people are doing it really differently, what the impact is of putting out a sort of a wider agenda decision.
Yeah, we don't really, I can't recall us ever putting an example in an agenda decision.
I wouldn't recommend it because to do a full example, Charlotte, from the standards, when we do an example, it has to go through for every level of detail.
Yeah.
I have to do the computations of the spreads. And given the fact we are looking at completely developing, I would say, an IGC or an application guidance example. So to do that, even an agenda decision, I would say, would be next to impossible.
I suppose the question whether it could be an educational guidance, if people are doing it very differently.
Yeah, that's fine. That's something we can consider.
We'll take that on board. Martin?
Well, I'm fine with the paper. And there are no problems
Okay, Martin, we're getting a lot of background noise. It sounds like somebody's running a bandsaw there.
No, I'm actually...
Okay.
We believe you.
We believe you. It's just coming through. It's static on the line. Bob?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, quite clearly.
Okay, great. Most of the points I wanted to make have already been said. I do agree with the staff analysis, particularly the like-for-like basis. I think you need to, it's appropriate to compare the overall floor with the overall market rate. I think that's the way you need to do it. And I agree that the comparison for the overall market rate should be based on the debt host without the floor. So I see the staff's example of where it could be bifurcated. I realize that's unrealistic, not a very common scenario, but I think the result is appropriate. That it, I do believe that having very few caps and floors being bifurcated is appropriate. So I'm good with the staff's analysis and with the proposed agenda decision.
Okay, Andrew.
I also agree with the analysis and with the conclusions. I think the other comments I had have been made already. I did have a couple of editorial suggestions which I've sent in already. The only further point I'd make, one of the comment letters suggested removing the reference to IFRS 13, which is in the pre-penultimate paragraph. I don't have strong views over this, but I didn't feel that was particularly helpful. I think IFRS 13 is more relevant to looking at an overall fair value than a component of the measurement process.
Okay. Okay. All right, now, Sue.
Mine was just a clarification point, and I'm not sure how to address it best, but I've spoken to some people who have read this in a way which I think is narrower than what everybody intends, which is that if I've got a sort of contractual interest rate on an instrument which was, you know, LIBOR plus 3%, I presume what we mean is relevant spreads adjusted for premiums or discounts, so calculated in the normal way using EIR type mechanics.
Absolutely.
Rather than just take what's written as the interest rate in the instrument. It might be useful just somehow to
clarify.
Make that sure that's abundantly clear in the agenda decision.
Then you can just avoid it just by issuing something at a
they
discount or a premium.
Yeah, create
it's
the
rare.
Outcome they want.
It will be rare. I don't want it to make it that rare.
I have to say, Sue, when I read it, I'm just, that's so ingrained in me, wouldn't even have occurred to me to bring it up. But
you're a good guy.
I appreciate that. That's the best character reference I've had all week. All right, I think we're together on this one. Any final comments at the table? Any final comments in the field?
Wayne, I don't know if you can hear.
Yes, Bruce.
Just one comment I wanted to ask. I mean, I actually thought the idea of putting an example in was quite a good one. And I know we just kind of dismissed the principle of putting examples into the agenda decisions. But I guess maybe just as something we want to pick up maybe at another meeting, why do we not put examples in? I mean, these are non-authoritative guidance. And we're out there saying this is the reason and a bit of explanation as to why we don't think we need to amend the standards. So why do we just dismiss putting in an example?
I appreciate your reaction, Bruce. I actually didn't just dismiss it. I was going to go back to the staff and say if we were going to propose an IGC, what would it look like?
Well,
and
it would look like an IGC with 2 pages long because I'll have to compute the spreads, how it goes.
Of course you will.
That's what it would look like.
And but let's hold that and maybe ask the staff to do a little bit more, not a huge amount more, and maybe table that for next meeting. I think it's a fair question. I can't see it in an agenda decision because we try and keep these at about a page each. So I can't see it here. But I can see us proposing an IGC to the board. We've done that before.
IGC to the board?
We've proposed educational and additional...
Educational material.
Yeah.
I was thinking again...
I'm sorry.
Guidance
no,
of
no,
IAS 39.
No, I hadn't proposed, thought of it as an authoritative thing, but we've proposed educational guidance.
Yes. That's fine, yeah.
Okay. Sorry that I misspoke. All right, this one's done.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for